we are, and have been for a while, in the book of Pilgrim's Progress. Feel we can sort of do it on a Sunday evening because it is so Bible, as we'll see. John Bunyan was just scripture, 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 and it's so helpful to think of our Christian walk in the way he has in this very helpful book. We're probably three out from the Celestial City. If some of you are wondering how long this journey is going to be, yeah, it's good stuff, so I make no apology, but we're probably about three out from the end. I'd encourage you, if you haven't read Pilgrim's Progress, to read it. There are some copies back there. I usually have one here. Forgot to put it here. It is a great book, very helpful book for our Christian walk. We'll come back to this in a moment, but last time, in Pilgrim's Progress, we were in the, Christian and Hopeful were in the Delectable Mountains. There were shepherds. There was a scary door in the side of a hill. And there was a glorious glimpse of glory. Today, in Pilgrim's Progress, a crooked path, highwaymen, and Christian and Hopeful get caught in a net. I don't think we've got time for that today, to be honest. So, anyway. Let me put the map back up. John Bunyan, the writer of Pilgrim's Progress, was one of the Puritans. These were Christians who in the 17th century, on the back of the reformers, they held tightly to the word of God. And they got into trouble, with the king. Because they wanted to reform the Church of England, saying it was too like the Catholic Church in its ceremonies and practices. They got in trouble. They were great. They were passionate, full of zeal for the Lord. They were careful about Christian living. They were seriously into salvation, which is stating the obvious, but serious in what salvation is, tight on it. What it is to be saved. And they went big on this with good reason, as we still should today, because there still is a lot of vagueness about as to what it is to be saved. And this careful understanding and applying of the Bible, we see a bit in tonight's episode on the road with Christian and Hopeful. As I said a moment ago, they're near home. So there's this view of the Celestial City they've had. The warnings of the shepherds are in their ears as well. They leave the Delectable Mountains with a spring in their step following their time in church with the pastors, the shepherds. They descend from these mountains and they continue along the way towards the Heavenly City. Now, on the left-hand side, it's a very big map here. Delectable Mountains up on the right there. But on the left-hand side, actually it's not on the screen, there was a land, and the name of the land was Pride. Oh dear. And there was a little crooked lane leading from this land to the path. Oh dear. Pilgrim Progress is, John Bunyan's going somewhere here, isn't he? Crooked tells you a lot of things. And up this path was coming a lively young man, and his name, oh, there they are. Come on, Hopeful, to Christian, sorry, Mr. Slide. We mustn't stop whatever happens. They're coming down from the Lakes and Mountains. And coming up this path was this chap called Ignorance. So Ignorance means unknowing, and we never, believers, want to be ignorant of God's word. We do not want to be. If we don't know God's word, if we're ignorant of God's word, of salvation, what it means, these things we'll look at this evening, we're either going to be on the wrong path completely, or we're liable to backslide in many different ways. So Christian and Hopeful say hi to him, and it turns out that Ignorance is heading to heaven as well. Christian is a little bit concerned, so he asks, what have you got to show that means you will get into heaven? And that's a question, isn't it, that's done the rounds, and it's a decent one to keep asking as well. That kind of question, if tonight God calls time on your life, oh, a horrible thought, but our time is in his hands, we do not know. But if he did, and you stand before the gates of glory tonight, and you are asked why you should be let in, what would you say? Take a minute with the person next to you to answer that, or discuss it together. I'll give you 2 minutes. What would you say? Tonight you stand before the gates. What would get you in? Just have a minute. Turn behind, someone behind maybe. Have a minute or so. Anyone want to just have a quick answer? Don't worry, you don't have to be word perfect. You don't even have to get it right. Just kick the thing off. Anyone want to have a go or say anything? Blood of Christ. Oh, blood of Christ alone. He died. Jesus died for me. You guys are well taught. I'm sorry. No. He died for me. Anything else? Jesus took the punishment I deserve so I can be forgiven. So please let me in. Yeah. I'm hidden in Christ. It's all of him. Yeah, great. Let's find out what ignorance says. And I think you know where this is going. The name gives it away, doesn't it? So they ask ignorance, well, you know, what are you gonna say? Ignorance says something like, well, I'll get in as other good people do. And he reels off this, you know, kind of typical, lived a good life, I pay my taxes. I know people who don't, but I do. I pay people back as well. I know people don't, but I do. Sorry. I pray, I fast, I tithe, I go to church, I take communion, I give to charity. I've left my country for this one. And he goes through this list. He comes from pride. Killer of faith is pride. And notice all the things he says, things he's done, or things you just said, glad to hear, are not. And he says, all things that make it all about him. Paul would say, small groups, we're looking at this in Galatians, aren't we? Paul would say, ignorance is perverting or reversing the gospel. Thinking, making the serious error, but really common error, that it's actually all about what he has done. When the gospel salvation is about what God has done, isn't it? His good things, ignorance and good, are good, aren't they? They really are. But they're not what saves us. The gospel is that God has called us by grace in Jesus. The gospel is Christ has died. It's not us calling on God with our good deeds. In this, ignorance shows in his answer that he has no burden of sin, does he? He doesn't have the weight on his back. But if you're here and you know the story, Christian had at the beginning in Pilgrim's Progress. He has pride instead in what he has done. He has, or he is, as the Bible says, wise in his own eyes. He's got his version of salvation. And listening to him, I mean, it's good stuff. He wants to play the part of a Christian, but he's ignorant of actually what it is to be saved. The only call is help, isn't it? That's all we can do. Because it's being saved. It's not about what we do. It's about what God has done. So let's get our Bibles out. And if you could turn to Luke 18, that'd be good. Because ignorance is like the Pharisee. There'll be another question for you in a moment, by the way, to discuss with someone. Luke 18, ignorant is like the Pharisee in this famous little passage. Someone who trusts in their own righteousness. So Luke 18, verse 9 to 14. In the church Bibles, it's 1052. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. Would someone like to read these verses to us? Much the Pharisee in this really important parable from Jesus could be from pride, couldn't they? The land of pride. The Pharisee's hope is in what God has done in him, good work stuff, rather than what God has done from the outside of him. The tax collector, on the other hand, is poor in spirit, isn't he? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Lord, be merciful to me. I am spiritually bankrupt. As we were thinking this morning, I'm out. It's run out. There's nothing in me that can commend me before you. Help. And the humble are those who will be exalted. See, a righteousness in what we do is not a basis for being justified. It's good to do good things. It's right to be a good citizen. But it is not the basis of justification. Only a righteousness in Christ, who's outside of us, is what justifies the repentant sinner. Only the righteousness of Christ. So let's turn again. Philippians 3, if you would. Here's another a great little passage on a similar theme. Philippians chapter 3. This is 1180 in the church Bibles, page 1180. Philippians chapter 3. So helpful, so bang on as well. Found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. And this is how we need to be known, isn't it? And this is what we must know. We mustn't be ignorant of this. Having a righteousness of God that comes by faith alone. The righteousness that counts is not even the good works which God does in us by the Holy Spirit. That is good, but they're evidences. They're not the grounding of salvation. So ignorant in the story, although good, and many would say, yes, what a great person. Ignorant is ignorant of salvation because it's a righteousness that's outside of us. So Christian says to him, but ignorance, you've come along the crooked path. You haven't gone through the gates. You haven't gone via the cross. God's grace, God's provision, received the righteousness, forgiveness, and so on. And we had this in Pilgrim's Progress before. Do you remember some people climbed over the wall onto the way? Very similar to this bit. And we're only on God's way if we enter by his way, aren't we? It doesn't matter what one's life is like. It matters we have the life of Christ in us. It is good to be a good citizen, but the life of Christ in us is everything. Ignorance says, it's okay. It's okay. I've come up the crooked path and here I am. I'm not a bad person. I'm sure God will be okay with me. God's not unfair, is he? I wonder if you've had this conversation before with somebody. Yeah, that kind of line, what? God's got to be reasonable. What might we say in that moment? Again, why don't you take a moment with the person next to you? Scenario is, I'm not a bad person. God's not out of order. He's not unfair, is he? Surely he'll let me in. What might you say? It's a bit of a harder question, isn't it? Great. Let me crack on because of the time and the warmth and so on. Good to hear you chatting. I wonder, I'm interested to what you said. But I'll crack on if that's okay. And a big part of the problem comes from the thinking here about, of course, our standards, that God compares us to each other, and that's the standard. That's the kind of problem behind this thinking, isn't it? I'm sure God won't be unfair, you know, I do this and that. You know, he's not a bad person. And the thinking, the baseline thinking is actually about our own standards and thinking me compared to that person, so on. But the problem is, and what people need to know is we're graded against God's standards, not the world's, aren't we? And before God's holiness, the problem is we are dirty in sin. We are dirty in every sense to a degree. So I guess one of the quick answers is, if it's about fairness, then we won't be welcomed. Instead, actually, we will be punished as our sins deserve. So here's a thought. Are we precious people made in God's image, or are we rebels against God? We're both, aren't we? We can overemphasize one above the other, can't we? Usually by our character and that sort of thing. But we are both of those things. We're rebels, but we're precious. Come back to it in a moment. Christian and hopeful, tell ignorance that he won't be welcomed by the things he's described. And ignorance says, gentlemen, you're strangers. I do not know you. You don't know me. Stop judging me. You follow your belief, your version. I'll follow mine. And I think everything will be okay. Thank you very much. Beside, the gate is miles back. Here's my path today. Here's where I'm at. Here's where it's happening. I'm happy. Now, again, in our culture, individualism is just pervasive, isn't it? Which means the world is awash with many different ways, many different ideas of what's right and wrong, what's the way and what isn't, and so on. The Bible, and Christians, we're unpopular because of this. The Bible says there's only one way. It's not what you or me want to individually think up and would like to think. Though the truth is that actually God tells us what the way is. It's God given, isn't it? And this is a reminder to us. It's tough, but it's true. But God's word is offensive to people and will be. The gospel is confrontational. And many of us lean to being quite gentle people. And so we can struggle to be direct if needed. But again, the healthy balance is needed, isn't it? Of the truth in love. We can be quite good at love, but truth is vital, isn't it? People must know the truth. And that is that we're sinners in need of grace. The gospel is God is holy. We are sinful rebels on collision course with God's wrath. That's offensive. That's upsetting. But that's the gospel. Jesus, though, came that our sin might be put on him. Your sin, my sin might be taken by him. And the response, therefore, so we've got God, man, Christ, fourthly, response is repent of your sin. Believe in Jesus Christ and follow him. Not go to church, pay your tithes, da-da-da-da-da-da. Yet that's to come. Evidences. It's God, man, Christ's response, isn't it? Our hope is not in what we think. What we might like to think, all the many ideas people have, it's in what God has done in Christ. Well, Christian and hopeful have this little moment with ignorance and they have a little powwow together. They decide to leave ignorance to think over what they've said and they hope to carry on chatting to him later. Again, just think about that. There are times, aren't there? Think about yourself at work maybe or with a family member where you do need to keep talking. Maybe lovingly asking questions. But there are times as well to say, okay, change the subject, move on. Prayerfully look for another time as well. Well, they move on. Ignorance is walking a little way back. And they pass through a dark lane. Yes, there we are. And they see this man. He is bound and he's being carried off to the door in the side of the hill. Sorry if you weren't here last time. And Christian and hopeful tremble. They recognize this man. His name is turning away from the town of apostasy. Typical Bunyan names, crystal clear. And they were fearful. And they to each other, they say, look, even at this stage, this far down the path, if you like, there's some who said they were Christians, and yet they're turning away, turn out not to be. And thinking back to pride and ignorance, they agree together. The knowledge of salvation is of high value. It is a treasure of great worth. And this preciousness gets Christian remembering a story about a man called Little Faith. There he is, sleeping. So Little Faith is a Christian in a story from the town of Sincere, but he fell asleep in a road called Dead Man's Lane. Now he is a believer, but one of little faith. So he was often spiritually asleep. Not a good example to us. This is a warning to us. This is an encouragement to not be this. And this must not be us for many reasons. It's too costly. The walk with Christ is too precious. There's too much at stake. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be alert, not asleep. Believer, be of sound mind. Don't be ignorant. Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And it's talking about devouring faith. And the plant and the weeds choking the young faith, the little faith. Ephesians 6 as well, 18. Be alert. Don't be asleep, Christian. Know the times we're in. Be alert. Always keep praying. Well, little faith lacks alertness. And while he's sleeping, three hooligans come along. I'm mixing the pictures because I love this book. And the picture of the other one was a bit violent. This is better. And these hooligans come along and their names are Mistrust, Guilt and Faint-Hearted. And they wake him up and they demand he hands over all he has. Little Faith calls out, thieves, thieves. They bop him and they rob him and they run off. Now when Little Faith comes to, he checks himself. And he finds they've taken all of his money and all he's got really, but they didn't find the jewels he had hid on his person. Let's think about that for a moment. Christian, he didn't find the jewels. What are the jewels? They're the reality of salvation. And the treasure hidden in a field Christ talks about. Or they're also assurance. That's the precious thing we have, believe, isn't it? Or Christ himself, probably a better way of saying it. Our lives are hidden in Christ. The jewels were hidden. That's the picture I think Bunyan's giving. But little faith, and this is the interesting response, which a bit of an ouch moment for me and perhaps us as well, was really sad about the money. Understandable. And as he went on his way, he struggled and he had to beg and it was really difficult for him. Now, God had protected the jewels, which should have been a great comfort for him. But it was missed by little faith, who focused only on what was taken. He didn't thank God for what he still had. And this is a picture Bunyan's giving us of someone who goes through a trial. And trials are difficult. Trials are real. I'm belittling that. We'll say more about that in a moment. But they go through a trial, and in it they forget the blessings they still have by being consumed with what they lose or what they don't have. It's easy to forget to count our blessings, isn't it? To forget our greatest treasure. To lose sight of the big thing. Christian, you're a child of God. That's unbelievably precious. That's the jewels, isn't it? So you may remember Christ's words in Luke 10. The disciples come back. This, that, the other has happened. How awesome. What does Jesus say? Rejoice not in this, that, and the other. Rejoice that your name is in the book of life. What a helpful corrective. What's the big thing? What's the jewels? What's the precious thing? You're a child of God. That's magnificent. We mustn't lose what we have by looking to what we don't have. Bunyan's encouraging us. And Christian tells Hopeful that for the rest of the journey, little faith was doleful and bitter, full of complaints and moaning. And everyone he met, he just told them about the robbery, what he lost, how he nearly died. Never really on his lips was Christ, the joy of being saved. And again, ouch. That's me. That's us often, isn't it? Always just thinking or telling other people about things that happened to us and so on. And of course we need to share and so on. But our lips can be so much more on the trials rather than the joy that we belong to Christ, that our name is in the book of life. And that's what little faith does, having little faith, which of course is name. It makes us preoccupied in the wrong things, doesn't it? When we are told in Philippians 4 verse 8, fix your mind on what is good, what is honourable, what is praiseworthy, what lies ahead, not what lies behind. Coming to an end now. There's a little conversation here, so try and stick with it. Hopeful says a few things. He says, isn't it interesting? And isn't it amazing that the robbers didn't take his jewels as well? Christian is the more mature Christian of the two. He says, no, Hopeful. The jewels are faith. And the jewels of faith are worthless to the world. Why would they take them? The cross is foolishness to a dying world. Hopeful says a bit later, but Esau sold his birthright, didn't he? So kind of precious things can be taken from us. Makes you think, doesn't it? Christian says, no, brother, there's a difference. Esau's birthright was kind of a real thing. Little Faith's jewels were his faith. Esau and Little Faith are different, Christian explains to him. Because Little Faith had little faith. And by his little faith, although it is faith, he was kept more than Esau, who had no discernible faith. So this chat about Esau, was there any sign of faith? Little faith does have faith. And the good news is that even if you have little faith, though it's little, you have faith. And if it's in Christ, which is that what is saving faith is, you have a strong Christ, even though you have little faith. It is not the volume of your faith that is the thing. It is the object of our faith. If it's genuine, even if it's small, it is true saving faith. Now the difference, of course, if we have little faith, we're weak believers, the difference comes in dealing with trials, as Little Faith's story tells us. Having little faith will make it difficult to cope with trials and so on. It will make life harder, but we will be prone to wander more. But if it's real saving faith, like it was in Little Faith, our faith's going on, then it's still faith in Christ, which is great. Hopeful, this is the last thought. Hopeful says, those thieves, a bunch of cowards, weren't they? I think if I'd been in that situation, I'd have had a good go. Back. Christian again helpfully says, well, maybe, but careful, brother. It's easy to talk and judge, isn't it? But when the moment of the battle comes, the reality is that it would have been hard. And I think if they were here right now, it would be a different story as well. And it's really helpful, again, Bunyan just packs it all in, that when we hear of others facing trials, and this is true for me at times as well, we can think, why was that so hard for them? You know, those sort of thoughts can come in our minds. If it was me, you know, and so on. Easy to talk like that. But Bunyan reminds us, instead we should be humble. We should be compassionate. We should pray. Actually, no, I don't want a trial. Lord, the prayer is deliver me from temptation. Not let me have a chance to demonstrate how strong I am as a Christian. No, we're weak. You're weak and I'm weak. There's no call, is there, to go find Satan and attack. It's rather we're given armoury to defend, aren't we? We ought not to desire trials, and we should not boast about ourselves in any way, but we should be humble. Humble and trust God's strength. recognizing challenges and trials are hard, and be gracious and prayerful for those who are going through trials, not judging others in our minds, in our words, but helping, supporting them. Our confidence is in the armor God gives us. It is, of course, in the promises of Christ to be with us. Christ is our hope. Christ is our confidence, which links us back to the beginning, to ignorance, whose confidence was in himself. Our hope, our confidence must be in Jesus for salvation from him alone. Our confidence also for sanctification, the story of little faith, is also outside of us. It's in Christ, isn't it? So we trust Christ alone, not ourselves. We look to him. Next time, a fork in the road, a dodgy geezer, and a net. We'll have to save it for next time. Well, I hope there's some helpful things there to get you thinking. Don't just leave them here. Take them with you. Pray over them. Say, Lord, yes, that's me. A little bit of that is me. A lot of that's me. Please work on my spirit. Grow me. Let's be serious about our walk. You don't laugh your way to heaven. It's a tough battle, Paul reminds us in the New Testament. So let's be serious about our Christian lives.